IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atal, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, Brother Ali and Sayyid Abdullah Musawi. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So this series of the program, Viewpoints, is mainly concerned with an analysis on the important points addressed by the leader of the Muslim Ummah, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. And in this new series, we are concerned with the topic humans or human beings in the speeches of the leader of Islamic Republic of Iran. So we believe the principles of Western humanities originate from the materialistic thought. And, you know, this has been clear to anybody who has read the history of Renaissance and anybody who has become familiar with the people of that era. So when the Renaissance becomes the source of different transformation in the West, then the role of the people and more the materialistic, this mundane life comes to the pen. And it has affect all the arenas of the Islamic humanities, like psychology, sociology, philosophy, communication studies, and all that. And based on that, there comes this secular system. So now, from the other side, we have this the role that the human and the human beings and the position that the human beings has in Islam, you know, on different occasions, in the verses of the Quran and the Ahadith. It is the direct reference of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, Prophet Muhammad and the infallible Imams, you know, here and there referred to the role that the human in humanities has. So can we have any Islamic humanities, Sayyid Abdullah, or not? The case is that, so in this way, we need to develop our own theory, Sayyid Abdullah, isn't it?
The theories are over there,
we have to apply them.
See, when we look at humanity studies or humanitarian studies from a Western perspective and Islamic perspective, there's one major difference here. Mm-hmm. Now, if me and you, we have to give a theory, it has to be based on Islam or what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
Now, so, for example, if we look at psychology, if we look at philosophy, we have to revolve around God and religion,
yes,
right? And from their perspective, not from my perspective. When you look at the Western or the secular humanities, it is from their own perspective. So each philosopher that comes, yes, each psychologist that comes, each therapist that comes, he gives his own definition. For example, look at Freud.
Mm-hmm.
Freud says the sexual tendencies in a child, he has sexual tendencies towards his mother.
Yes.
Now that's Freud's theory.
Yes.
Now this is not based on God. This is not based on logic.
No.
It's based on him.
Yes.
And it became a study, and all the rubbish that he came up with.
Yes.
It became a study. It's been taught in universities.
Yes.
Darwin's theories. Yes. They became a
also.
Study.
They have been criticized, brother, by the Western world too, isn't it? I mean, because in the neo-Darwinism or the Freud ones, you know, there have been so
no,
many
no, so some
reviews.
Of them being discussed, but
yes.
I'm saying that even those which they mm-hmm. accept, whatever
yes.
theories or philosophers, you know, modern philosophers or back-day philosophers, mm-hmm. whatever theories they brought, it was their own from their own creation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not based on God.
Yes.
It's not based on Islam or what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants.
Yes.
So they would always get it wrong. And even if they get it right, mm-hmm. it's just their own opinion.
Yes.
Where if you look at Islam as a system, even as a philosopher, for example, or as a theologist or what you might be,
yes.
it still has to be stemmed and has to go through the guidelines and rules of Allah subhanahu
yes.
wa ta'ala,
yes.
which makes a difference in giving you the results or giving you the answers.
Yes. And you know, during... when you look at the history of Islam and all these scholars in different fields of studies, you know, Ibn al-Haytham, for example, you know, al-Khwarizmi, you know, mathematics, you know, Avicenna, Averroes, you know, Ibn al-Rushd, Ibn Sina, you know, Ibn Sina, you know, all these scholars from different fields of studies that had one foot in the religion and religious mm-hmm. studies, so maybe helping them not to be deviated from the right path. And really brilliant discoveries have been made by them
so
in the history of Islam.
It, by
yeah.
the way. So
yeah.
Imam Sadiq alayhi salam,
yeah.
for example, he used to have 4,000 students in his, in his majlis, in his lessons, the classes. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, not only did he teach Islamic studies or tafsir or exegesis, he actually taught physics, chemistry. He taught even pharmacy. He taught sciences of the body. He even taught what we call extraction and excavation. He astronomy. He taught so many sciences that if we look at them, they're just human things for the human needs.
So all in all, the difference between the roots of these knowledges actually are have a drastic difference, and the difference is on their worldview. The Islamic one stems from an Islamic worldview. So in Islamic worldview, as I said, the uniqueness of God is looked at. I mean, it was paid attention to. And also two aspects of human being, that is material aspect and also spiritual aspect of it, is looked at and valued. Also, wisdom is behind everything. We consider wisdom and hikmah behind every action of God in this universe. But in the other, there is no role given to there is no role given to God and the Creator. Then also only one aspect of human being, that is materialistic aspect of him, is being looked at, and they look at the whole actual universe as something, as an accident, or let's say a chance, which we believe that no, there is no chance, and everything here in this universe is based on hikmah issued by God.
So you have to manage your, we can't say, wisdom, time, and energy on both sides, divinity and the materialistic one. But the question comes up this way, that in the Western world, they have focused on the mundane, materialistic, bodily, physical one, and they have been successful somehow in answering this part of the human beings. But from the other side, you spend your energy and effort and mindset on both of them. You were not successful in either of them.
So what
could
is
it
the,
be a nice?
Yeah. What is the criteria of this success?
At least answering some of the bodily, for example, needs or managing. The distribution of the world.
If this is the case, I mean, even in the ancient time, the people were more successful and even more knowledgeable, and they actually solved lots of even more difficult questions. Like, as I mentioned earlier in this series of, in one of the shows, so we have seen and witnessed, and it has been proved that corneal transplant has been actually practiced 3,500 years ago in this country, in the city of Soukhta in Kerman. So these are not a good sign to say that, okay, they are more successful or we are badly, I mean, behind the...
The thing is, Hachi, I think just so we don't drift of the topic, I mean... we have no issue with the West or anybody.
No.
Like, for example, developing things.
No, answer the questions here.
For the human being.
Let's not be interrupted by, side questions. Let's go to the...
This is my question,
So I was saying anyone... So, for example, if the West advances, for example, medicine, where's the harm in that? Actually, on the contrary, Islam says seek knowledge until the from the cradle to the grave.
Okay.
So we... As a human being, we've been told to seek advances. But when it comes to humanitarian studies, that's a different field, because this usually deals with the mind and with the soul. And that's what they got it wrong.
Look, the question is, why they, unique look at the human being as, for example, one aspect of him, that is a material aspect of human. Why are they that successful? And we as Muslims, for example, looking at both sides of human, we are not that successful. I'm answering the brother. So what is the criteria of being successful? He says that, for example, they are very successful, I don't know, in different aspects of sciences and knowledges.
So it's a matter of comparison, why the Muslim world is not successful, why the Western is
this
successful.
This is the question.
If that's the question.
So your answer was not that related to the topic.
Yeah, so, okay, all right. So I think why Islam is not successful, it's got nothing to do with the Muslim, because we as Muslims at the Golden Age, which now they call the Dark Ages, if you go to the universities in the West,
they
refer to Islam as the Middle Age or the Dark Age, where in fact should be called the Golden Age, because most of the advances, most of the discoveries, most of the things that we have today, they stem back from, like I say, you mentioned Ibn
Al-Haytham.
We wouldn't have the cameras today if it wasn't for Ibn Al-Haytham.
Yeah, optics.
You are
right?
Not about
optics.
To enter the same boat.
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to say to you. So I'm agreeing with you here. I'm not going against it. So we're saying we're not successful because the West, they tried their best. to make sure that the Muslims are not successful,
and to make the best out of the Islamic resources.
Yeah,
you know,
so what they did is that they gave us their culture, which is a very corrupt culture. They said, you know what, guys, go to McDonald's. We'll give you McDonald's. We'll give you KFC. We'll give you Hungry Jacks. We give you TV shows. We give you Netflix. We give you all these things. You guys stay busy while we do the work.
And, also
and
the
then
picture.
You have to come to us and we'll tell you back what we discovered.
I don't know if you have seen the book Al-Awa'il. It is written by an Arab author that he collected the stem and the root of all the sciences in the world. Yes. This person have done a great job. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting that
That's
he said the root and the, let's say, discoverer of every aspect and science and knowledge in the world were Muslims.
I mean, sometimes the picture...
Now, when, if at the Dark Ages, for example, they deprive Muslims from their own sources and they actually colonize them, so this is the natural outcome of it to say that. So this is not a progress. This is, I think, is a regress. Yeah. Regression than a progress.
Of course.
This is what Professor Edward Said in his outstanding work, Orientalism, has discussed. The picture that the West made out of the Arabs, you know, and the Islamic lands, you know, the man of the sword and this, you know, the womanizers, you know, and the pictures have been believed somehow by the Arab countries themselves, and they, the overconfidence that they had over the Western world in order to progress and different and develop in different fields of studies, you know, have been a trend among them, forgetting the precious treasures of the knowledge and the studies that they have in the 7th and the 8th century, for example, in the Darul Hikmah of Baghdad or... You know, in Gondishapur, in Ahwaz University, you know. And
so even now, if the West moves its hand from the Muslim world, I guarantee you are going to give so much back to the world. Yeah. Now, I don't know, in Iraq this was happening, in Iran it's happening, in other countries it's happening. Mm. Whenever there's an outstanding scientist, he gets assassinated, he gets killed.
Yeah.
Now, how am I supposed to succeed when all my scientists have been killed? Look, I remember in Iraq, time of Saddam, we had so much amazing people that came with amazing inventions, and Saddam had to kill them all. Yeah, and when the Americans came, the first thing they did through when they invaded Iraq in the Gulf War, in the 2003 when they invaded Iraq, the first thing they did, they had a long list of scientists. They killed them all. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you expect any of the Muslim world to succeed when you guys are killing our scientists?
That's right.
Because you won't accept it, you know?
Okay.
So.
That's right. Okay. This is really a major question of how long should we keep consuming others' production in science, you know? This is a major question, you know? If at least Muslims believe in the famous tradition that acquire knowledge from cradle to grave, okay? They have to go on, they have to continue the studies. Of course, acquiring science from the others, we do not oppose that, but I think
we can create our own.
We have to create our own based on our own system of values. And in this way, I think we are not the mere imitators of the other's knowledge and the humanities and the other world, inshallah. Thank you much, Brother Ali and Said Abdullah, for your presence in the program Viewpoints. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com forward the session, Call of Islam page. Also, our YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you. Al-Fi Amanullah.
That often lies, 'cause I don't need anyone.